The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.
I'm Steve Scherr. Who makes minimum wage and how much should those people get paid? We asked travelers at SeaTac Airport.
Minimum wage was never designed for supporting a household. It's designed for kids just getting out of high school or in high school, getting ready to go to college, save some money, but nothing to support a family on.
That's Carrie Brown of Sacramento. We asked a few people. Here's another person in SeaTac.
I mean, it's hard. You have to be content with just kind of settling for less all the time. But I think it'd be nice to feel more like I earned enough to be able to enjoy a little bit more instead of just getting by.
That's Sarah Graham, upstate New York. She earns around $8 an hour working concessions in the national parks. Washington State already has the nation's highest minimum wage at $9.19 an hour. Next week, voters in SeaTac may take it even higher. Proposition 1 would raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour for many airport workers and employees at large hotels and restaurants nearby. It would also provide sick leave. Last week, producer Jason Pagano and I took a trip to the airport to talk with people on both sides of the issue. Ivor's president, Bob Donegan, doesn't think the $15 an hour minimum wage is a good idea for SeaTac. I met him at the food court right in front of his restaurant.
Our primary concern is that this has become a mechanism for organizing the workforces down here without a union election. So normally bargaining occurs between a union and the employees and an employer. This one obviates all those needs, and there's a provision in this ordinance that said none of the requirements of the new ordinance apply if you negotiate a union agreement.
This is the carrot and the stick, and it's mostly stick.
We think so. We also know that the $15 an hour minimum wage, which is being proposed for SeaTac, probably kicks the rung out for teenage kids, immigrant workers, unskilled people, because $15 is too expensive to pay people. It will be hard for us to take a risk on someone who's never worked before.
What's your minimum wage for an Ivor's worker now? What do they start at?
The state minimum wage is $9 and change. We don't start anybody at minimum wage. We start people a couple bucks more than that because we get a better level of worker by paying people more. And I'm going to guess that the average hourly worker in the SeaTac site that we're standing at here is probably $13 an hour.
Now, the people that support this argue that these jobs are not really for high school students. They are for people who are trying to make a living wage and raise a family, and that's why they should be paid more.
So the way we think about that is you come in at an entry-level wage, you prove your worth for 30 days, 60 days, and then you become a shift manager, assistant manager, and every time you do that, you get raised. So if you want to make this a career, which is what our hope is, you will stay here a long time, and your compensation will double or triple over time.
But how much does somebody who's worked here for a year, after a year, are they still getting $13.50? Are they getting $17? Do you think it's more than $15?
Probably not. Not after a year.
Not after a year.
Yeah.
Bob Donegan runs Ivor's. We're at the SeaTac concourse where voters will be deciding whether some of the folks who work in this airport should see a minimum wage of $15 an hour. You are a person who believes in economic justice. You understand the need in this society today to deal with inequality. If we don't have something propping up the bottom, we may see wider inequalities over time. What's your suggestion for dealing with that issue?
We don't have income inequality at Ivor's. The difference between the people at the entry level and the people in the senior management is a tiny fraction of what it is throughout the rest of corporate America. I believe the typical restaurant operator down here is a mom and pop operator, and the last person to get paid in those organizations is the owner. We don't see big issues of income inequality down here. Evidence of that is our health care. The people who work at the SeaTac store get the same health benefits program that I get for my family. If it's okay for me, it's okay for them.
By the way, I would say that the guy who has to drive that thing, I hope he has a good health care plan, because that is one killer
of
the noise.
Get rid of that horn.
What would this cost you if this passed?
We don't know. We haven't.
But you're sure it would be onerous?
We're sure it would be difficult, and it would certainly be more difficult for most of the restaurants out here, because it's going to be hard to hire someone at an entry-level job if we have to pay them $15 an hour, and then add the benefits on top of that.
But you'll have the job, you'll need the job. Wouldn't you have to hire them? You don't plan on cutting staff if their wages are higher, do you?
We may have to. We don't know that yet. But I'll tell you that other employers at the airport who don't pay the high wages that we do, they undoubtedly will get rid of people because they're going to have people coming in from Federal Way and Seattle and Bellevue to get a $15 an hour wage, where today they're being paid less than $10 an hour. So it will cause the elimination of jobs of the people who can least afford to be laid off.
Well, that's one argument from Ivers President Bob Donegan about the SeaTac Proposition 1 to raise minimum wage for airport workers to $15 an hour. I also talked with an airport employee who would see her pay go up if Prop 1 passes.
My name is Roxanne Seibel. I work at SeaTac Airport, and I've been here for 30 years, working in my 30th year anyways. I'm a sales associate, so I wait on customers. I do stock, and which I never used to do before, but it's part of the job now. And, that's what I do.
What is your thought on a $15 an hour minimum wage mandated by voters in SeaTac?
You know, it's the jobs here. Everybody keeps saying that they're entry-level jobs, but let me tell you, when you're trying to support a family, and most of the people that work here do, and what is expected of us, you know, it's fair. As far as trying to raise a family on minimum wage here, it's a no-go. Most of the employees that I work with are working two jobs. I've been here long enough, I'm not at the bottom of the totem pole, but, you know, it would be, I still don't make 15 bucks an hour, even after 30 years.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me you made much more. After 15 years, you still don't make 15 bucks an hour?
Nope, I don't.
After 30 years?
After 30 years, I do not make $15 an hour.
What are you making an hour?
I'm at the top end, and I make $13.95. And that's because I have a union that gets that, but I don't have any sick pay. And I had a child that I adopted that was special needs. And for me to take off and, you know, call in sick for her, I would lose pay. So, I mean, I was lucky that I had family members that were able to work around my schedule to do my daycare and whatnot. But without them, I couldn't have done it, you know, on my own.
You know, the two arguments that I hear against this, one is there will be fewer jobs because you won't be able to hire people who would be seeking entry-level jobs, high school students, first-time workers. What's your thought on that?
I don't believe that at all. I mean, they have got a built-in customer base here in this airport. People are always traveling, and that's not going to change. This airport's grown and grown and grown. Over the last 30 years, profits are better than ever, and I don't see that really changing.
And the other thing that I hear is that have a harder time keeping your job because you'll be in competition with people from the surrounding cities who will come in because this is going to be a high-wage area surrounded by low-wage cities.
Most of the people that work here work outside of this area to begin with. I mean, from Lakewood to here up to North Seattle, Bellevue. I mean, a lot of us do. And just the traveling back and forth. Now, I live close, and I just had a $400 car bill, a repairer, and, you know, it's hard to get through. And I've got a kid in college, and, you know, I'm a single parent. I adopted two kids, and it's tough. You know, I think with the profits that are brought into this airport, I think some of it can be given back to the employees that actually bring it in.
You said something that's interesting. These are all separate businesses that are going to be asked to increase their wages, and the port, because of some of the people the port itself is employing at the airport. Should the port, as an institution, be doing something to raise the wages of everybody who works in their facilities?
I would hope so. You know, it's not costing the port anything. They're benefiting from all the profits. You know, we're the first people that the traveler sees. We're the face of SeaTac. We are the last impression, and most of the time it's a pretty darn good impression that we give. I need to have product knowledge. I mean, I work in the specialty stores. It's not like I'm just slinging water all day long or not being, you know, nice to people. you know. And I think the employees that work here deserve to have a fair living wage. They also deserve to have health care, sick pay, you know. And most of the employees that I work with work two jobs.
That's Roxanne Seibel. I talked to her outside the Ivers restaurant in the concourse at SeaTac. I also talked with Ivers president, Bob Donegan. SeaTac voters go to the polls on Proposition 1 next week.